In 1933, sightings of a strange aquatic creature at Loch Ness dominated headlines in Scotland. But is there any real evidence for this creature? And what does local ancient mythology tell us about the origins of the Loch Ness Monster? You know what I can do? I can throw in like ocean waves, like background kind of aquatic sounds, and it's really cool. Gonna up the production value. Yes.
Yes.
Alrighty, friends. Summer is here. It is swimming season. Bust out your bikinis, your Speedos, because we are talking about the famous aquatic creature and friend of the podcast, Nessie.
Whoop whoop.
As I called her before we started recording, our bestie Nessie. Actually, what if we were just like, we've got Nessie on air with us. Nessie, what would you like to tell the listeners? And it's just like, so we're professionals. My name is Ivy.
And I am Tayshia.
And before anyone thinks, you know what? I've heard all about Nessie. This is very old news. Like, I'll see my way out. Let me just say that there is a lot to this story. Not a lot, but there was some, like a couple of parts in here that were actually news to me as a longtime nerd for the paranormal, supernatural, cryptids. I feel like a fake Nessie fan. So, and there's a little bit of archaeology in here. And who doesn't want Nessie archaeology?
Right? And she's always surprising us. She's always got new things in store. She's always serving.
Nessie serves. Our bestie Nessie serves. Always. Boots the house down. So
I suppose, though, quick before you dive in, You're listening to Odd Anthropology.
That, yes. This is odd. Emphasis on odd. Maybe we can do, like, all caps, odd, and then, like, anthropology.
Anthropology.
Yeah, throw it in some parentheses. Odd, anthropology. Also, a couple of quick notes. And if you're someone who just wants the story, fast forward a couple minutes. I don't blame you. First of all, we recently... Oh, let me pull up my phone. We recently received the kindest review and comment since we last recorded together. And I wanted to read them and shout them out here because they're so sweet. So this was a 5-star review that we had received, I think, last month on Apple Podcasts. That's what it's called. Mystical Mama Ash said, I just discovered this podcast and I'm already obsessed. I'm the biggest nerd in the world, but especially when it comes to topics these gals chat about. Can't wait for what is next. I mean, who doesn't love a good bog body? And that's so true. Snaps for Mama Ash. That is so true.
Thank
you. And then the artist, Sarah, what is her name? Sarah Enns.
Yes.
Who you can find on Instagram at sj.ensz. They said in a recent post, as much as I've loved the layout of my studio, for context, she was at redoing her studio, which I'm really jealous of.
She has an incredible studio. I can't wait to see what she does.
If I could, isn't it just like the artist's dream to have your own actual studio and not just like a cramped little tiny cluttered desk? Yes. Also, for context, my recording studio is a tiny little cramped closet that I'm sitting in right now. But anyways, she's redoing her studio. And she said, in one short week, I sawed my desk in half to free up more space, dropped a scandalous amount of paint on the floor, got bangs again, and binged a friend's podcast while painting at Odd Anthropology and learned all about the discovery and science behind bog bodies, which I naturally needed to tell my wife all about right before bed. I'm glad that we all just have spouses that we just like bother the heck out of with all of this.
Thank
you everybody for your kind words so far.
Yes, we appreciate your support.
Yes, we do. And to show some of our appreciation, we are going to be running our first giveaway over on Instagram, which is on theme with the topic of this episode, Nessie. The giveaway includes a Nessie plush, a Nessie
button. The cutest
button.
Nessie plush you have ever seen.
Literally, before we started recording this episode, I was telling Tayshia, I'm actually so mad. I'm like, do we need to, like, secretly enter this giveaway with our own aliases? And I would have gotten me and Tayshia some of these Nessie plushes, but this was the last one that the store had. And the star of the giveaway, minus the Nessie plush, which might be the real star of the giveaway, is a plesiosaurus tooth. Spoiler alert, the plesiosaurus is the prehistoric marine animal that a lot of people speculate Nessie to be. So it's going to be a super fun giveaway. Go to our Instagram at @anthropology to check that out. And I think with that, we should probably just jump into this episode.
Are we diving into the cold, murky waters of Loch Ness?
Diving in. I'm also going to be a terrible white person and just be like Loch Ness because I, Loch, I, listen, can't do it. So, Loch Ness, let's get to Nessie. And to really get into Nessie, I'm going to go back to the very beginning of Nessie lore, which takes me to the Picts. So I'm not joking when I say that we're at the very beginning, going way, way back. If you don't know, the Picts were, well, they were a group of people who could honestly have an entire episode all about them.
I was going to say, I would love to do an episode.
Yes, they were an ancient people from the Iron Age and through to, I read like through to the early medieval period, which I didn't know that they were still around in the medieval period, primarily in northern and eastern areas of Scotland. The word Pict is derived from the Roman name Picti, which means, or Picti. I've always said it Picti, but I've heard it both ways, which means painted people, as the Picts were described as having painted these blue designs and patterns around their bodies. Some people believe they were tattoos, but we don't really know. But I won't get too much more into the Picts because a lot of what we have on them is kind of scarce. And it also, it reads sometimes as them almost being these mythological beings, the way some people did like run into them and write about their experiences with them. And there's a lot to be debated about them. I'm no expert on the Pictish people. Tayshia, that would probably be a great topic for you to talk about.
I've got a few things I could rustle up that we could get a good episode on that, I think.
Okay, see, so there will be a future topic because for now, of course, this is all about Nessie. And one thing that we do know about the Picts is that they left behind some interesting art and legends. One such legend involves Saint Columba, who was an Irish abbot, missionary, and scholar who was in Scotland trying to convert the Picts to Christianity during the 6th century AD, or about 1400 years ago. And I will note that this story was written in an account about the life of Saint Columba like 100 or so years after his own death, so take it with a grain of salt, but it is said that during this endeavor of converting the Picts in the year 565 AD, he allegedly encountered a group of heathenish Pictish men. Yep.
There was air quotes there.
Yep, yeah, really strong emphasis. Heathenish Pictish men. While they buried a friend who an enormous water monster had just killed along the River Ness, which flows out of Loch Ness. Columba laid his staff across the chest of the dead man who came back to life, and Columba, for whatever reason, proceeded to request that one of the monks in his entourage, and this makes no sense, swim across the loch to fetch a boat on the other side to bring back so they could all get to safety. Make it make sense? Of course, upon jumping into the water, the monster was alerted to its new prey, duh, and swam for the monk. And while others were panicked and, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Columba remained calm. He simply invoked the name of the Lord and commanded that the monster will go no further. Do not touch the man. Leave at once. The creature obeyed, And the story concludes with the Picts being converted on the spot, and they were baptized within the River Ness. Yay! Let's get a round of applause. Yay. Anyways, so that's the story of St. Columba allegedly encountering the creature that many believe to be Nessie.
Ooh.
Wow.
Historically speaking, we do have documentation of Columba traveling through Scotland to convert the Picts. We know he did this, and archaeologists have uncovered evidence of Pictish occupation in and around Loch Ness dating to this time period. So it is very well true that St. Columba encountered them here at Loch Ness or the River Ness. Whether or not he resurrected a man and scared off Nessie, I'll leave that up to everyone listening. Because now I want to talk about one of the Pictish archaeological finds, which to some lends proof to this story of this monster. In 1869, at Drumbuie Farm, which sits alongside Loch Ness, two stone slabs were discovered on top of a cairn, which is a pile of stones usually meant to mark a grave, although they can also act as memorials or markers for other things. But one of these stones features some kind of serpent, and it is now known as the Drumbuie Stone. And I'm actually quite upset because this stone would be sent eventually to the National Museum of Scotland in Edinburgh, which I went to back in 2017 when I think I've mentioned it on here before, I honeymooned in Scotland. And I was racking my brain around it. I was like, I would have seen that. I would have remembered this. And when I looked it up, this stone, unfortunately, is not on view. It's very fragile. It's very, very old. So it makes sense. As someone, I worked in a museum for 3 years, so I get it, but I really want to see it. So maybe next time I'm there, I can finagle my way in. I'll flash my student ID or something and be like, or maybe a little bribery. I'll slide a crisp $20 bill across the table and be like, let me see the Nessie stone.
Well, now at this point, it's for research. It's for science because we have this podcast.
This is for my profession as a podcaster. It's for my academia as a student. They want me to not get an education? Like, right? Come on. So I really want to see this stone. I also didn't get to see Loch Ness on that trip because all of the buses and tours and everything going up there were fully booked. So I'm really salty about that. But
it just means you have to go back.
It does. It means I got to go see other lochs and tour a different area of the Highlands, but I didn't get to see Loch Ness. Anyways, this isn't the Ivy podcast. This is the Nessie podcast. stories of this stone featuring this serpent that was found near Loch Ness. It was known to some locals that this stone was found, but it also kind of eventually became like a little bit forgotten. People didn't think too much of it because they find Pictish art similar to this before. It's nothing that new. But in the year 1933, construction on a road that was adjacent to Loch Ness had just been finished, which allowed for a beautiful and unobstructed view of the lake. So it was super popular for the view alone. And in April of that year, a couple would claim that an animal, which they compared to a, quote, dragon or prehistoric monster, crossed the road ahead of them, of course, startling the daylights out of them before it plunged into the depths of Loch Ness. And once this story was printed, other sightings were very quick to follow. The next month in May, the Inverness Courier relayed the story of a couple passing by Loch Ness who noticed what they described as, and I quote, an enormous animal rolling and plunging on the surface of the water. By December of that same year, 1933, Nessie mania was in full force. The news company Daily Mail would go so far as to commission a big game hunter and get ready for this name. Marmaduke Wetherell. Oh, that's a name.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
They commissioned him to find proof of this mystery aquatic serpent-like weird dragon-like creature. And he thought he did. He found footprints that he believed belonged to, quote, a very powerful, soft-footed animal about 20 meters long. And, you know, you can, a lot of the times you can judge the length of an animal based on the size of a foot. That's how he's like, this thing's pretty long. But this is so funny. So a zoologist at the Natural History Museum was like, yeah, those aren't actual like living animal footprints. Rather, they were identical to footprints that you could make using, and this sounds kind of weird at first, hippo or elephant leg statues. Now, something to keep in mind, this is the early to mid 1900s. People loved the safari exotic animals aesthetic, the, you know, the zebra skins and leopard skins, and there were a lot of stools, coffee tables, and even beach umbrella stands that were made to either look like fake hippo, rhino, or elephant feet. But also, this was the early to mid 1930s. A lot of the times they were unfortunately real animal feet that had been poached. So
not surprised.
Yeah, this reminded me a lot of like Bigfoot footprints, where a lot of them, it's literally just these perfectly stamped footprints. And you're like, yeah, a living thing didn't walk and make those. Also, Tayshia, you would be great for covering Bigfoot with your background in biological anthropology and your interest in it. You need to cover Bigfoot one of these days.
Add it to my list.
So that's the tea behind Marmaduke Wetherell's Nessie footprints. They were near identical to these ones that could be made using like fake hippo and elephant feet. Some people believe that Marmaduke Wetherell planned this footprint hoax, but it's very possible that when news of this creature got out, someone went out there and created these footprints, knowing people would find them. We don't know who it was, but someone did. And Marmaduke came across them and thought they were Nessie. And people forget that humans love messing around with each other and pulling pranks and doing stuff like this. I think people like need to really remember that when you hear a lot of stories involving cryptids and the paranormal. A lot of the times, it's just someone messing around with someone else. Rewards would soon be put out for anyone who captured more evidence of the creature that would go on to be known as Nessie. Nessie, Loch Ness. It took me an embarrassingly long amount of time to realize that Nessie came from Ness. I was like, oh, where did Nessie come from? Not a smart person. Listen, I'm only in my first semester of college. So people wanted to capture more evidence, especially photographic evidence of this monster. So one man, an English physician, Robert Kenneth Wilson, set out to do just this. And in 1934, he captured the iconic photo known as the Surgeon's Photo. Daily Mail printed it, giving the front page headline, London Surgeon's Photo of the Monster. And this was news to me. I was like, oh, that's where Surgeon's Photo came from. It was this headline. And this photo especially is when more people began to speculate about what exactly this creature might be, noting that the shape of the neck and head of this creature resembled that of the prehistoric plesiosaur, which had gone extinct some 65.5 million years ago. And at this point in the story, I was like, ooh, maybe I'll get into a little bit of paleontology and I'll kind of look up, like, were there plesiosaurs here or the plesiosaurus? I think plesiosaur is like the class, and then within that is the plesiosaurus, is I think the way it goes. But they were pretty much everywhere. I think we had them like here where like in the States we used to be underwater and you can find their fossils here. They were literally everywhere. So I was like, oh, well, I guess a plesiosaurus could have lived up until today somehow. Although there's no evidence of it. And I'll talk about that more later. Nessie mania would remain for some time, especially once it was remembered that the Pictish stone engraving featuring some kind of serpent was found near Loch Ness, when people were like, wait a second, we remember hearing stories about this stone. Let's go back and look at it, because things are starting to line up. And in fact, in the 1960s, a man named Ted Holliday would search for this stone, or he was also looking for other undiscovered stones that he believed would also depict this monster around Loch Ness. This guy didn't know that the stone had since been removed, but he did write the following about his expedition, and I quote, "On June 15th, I had now been at Loch Ness for 9 days. Heavy rain pounded down during breakfast. After going round to Strone for a last word with Clem and Brian, we were leaving for London. I finally spent the rest of the morning searching the grounds of derelict Bulmachan," the name of some house that is also in the area. Also, okay, so not only was the stone removed, but he was searching at the wrong location. This reminds me that a time before Google existed, and that it was really hard to like confirm these kinds of things. You just had to go off of like a lot of word of mouth or what you could find from local sources. Anyways, he's at the wrong location. The stone isn't there, but he's looking for it. And I quote, "For a view of the ancient carved stones on which an unidentified creature is depicted. After beating the Rhododendron jungle for an hour, I gave the search up as hopeless." So he includes his own illustration of this carving within his notes, noting a, and I quote, "a Neolithic carving found at Bulmachan near Loch Ness. The creature appears to be a stylized depiction of the orm and incorporates numerous features reported by witnesses, such as vertical undulations, wide head, oval eyes, and conical nose." So this is this guy's attempt trying to find more. And this just kind of highlights this resurgent of this stone. And you have people like him. He's not the only one going out there. And they're like, we're going to find more like Neolithic carvings and archaeological evidence of this creature. Because the Pictish people, the people out here before us, they knew about it. This isn't anything new. And this is proof to a lot of people.
So he drew a picture of the stone that he never saw? Or am I not under?
He at some point must have seen it, because the drawing is near identical to it. So I'm not, but I'm like, okay, so he knows what it looked like. Maybe he saw it like after having gone out there. But I'm like, if he knew that, like, why did he not know that it A, wasn't there? But he was also searching at, I think it is pronounced Bulmachan House, Bulmachan House near Loch Ness, which is not where the stone was originally found. So he tried. Listen, the guy tried. It is possible that the Picts carried on the story of St. Columba and the monster or other mythological creatures in carvings like this one and other artistic depictions. But in reality, the Drumbuie stone is likely depicting just a snake, perhaps an eel, as there were rumors that eels also resided there. But regardless of what the serpent-like creature, which again, really probably is just a snake, it has gone down in history as an integral part of the ever-growing story of the Loch Ness Monster. Over the following decades, other alleged photos would arise here and there. The occasional eyewitness claim of some kind of large aquatic creature would also come about. But in 1994, the year I was born, a bombshell statement would be released, made by our friend Marmaduke Wetherell, who came forward alleging that the famous surgeon's photo was a hoax that he helped to orchestrate, and that what we see in the picture, he claims, was a model made of wood and plastic attached to a toy submarine. Tayshia, thoughts on that? Do you think it's fake?
I mean... I do believe the surgeon's photo. Mm-hmm. I do believe that was faked. I feel like they've come out and said that was all one big hooey. But Nessie, no, she's real.
Oh, hands down, hands down. I will take that to my, I will die on this hill.
Absolutely.
And some people wonder, like, well, why would he fake it? Why would the surgeon guy fake it? There was reward money involved. That's the risk of offering rewards for these types of things. People want that money and the attention, the notoriety, and people will do what it takes to get it. And this circles back to people like to mess with people. People are so, so willing to do these kinds of things for money, for attention, etc. On a similar note, other alleged photos appear to be fake or to be logs or ripples in the water. There's some pretty solid photoshopped Nessie photos out there. It really sucks to be in a day and age where it's also so easy, especially with AI, to make convincing fakes of this kind of stuff. Technological advancements would also lead to multiple sonar sweeps of Loch Ness over the years, which presumably would show such a large creature, but nothing has been seen yet. Even as recently as 2018, we've still been utilizing modern technology, such as taking water samples to conduct a DNA survey to tell us what all resides within it. Because obviously all creatures expel something, pee, poop, other secretions, and which are thus present in the water. But there's been no DNA from a plesiosaurus or any other strange large creatures matching this description, minus the presence of eels. So for a long time, people would sometimes claim to see eels. There wasn't any evidence of it. But hey, apparently there is DNA of eels in Loch Ness, and eels can get really big. And so some of these descriptions of something undulating on the surface, twisting and turning, or something coming out of the water that looks like a long, skinny neck can very well be an eel. This DNA survey also helped lay to rest another theory, which was that the Loch Ness monster was a whale who somehow made their way in. Some people theorize that there's underwater channels that could connect Loch Ness to the ocean. Okay, specifically, TMI, some people have compared the surgeon's photo to that of a erect whale penis, which is, in their defense, convincing if you look at a side-by-side photo, but alas, no evidence of a whale in Loch Ness. Whale penises. Yeah, no evidence of this. There's no evidence of any sort of big connecting channel that ocean creatures could swim all the way through to access it. But if you recall, some eyewitnesses said that this creature did look dragon-like or prehistoric. With like one of these very first sightings, a creature was in the road. They had to like their old-timey car to not hit it, and they watched it go into the water. Well, that's not an eel. like that's not a big fish. What is this? And what fits the bill really well of this description is crocodiles, who of course don't naturally live in the highlands of Scotland, so how could one end up causing such a ruckus? I know, we're really taking a turn here. Now I'm bringing up crocodiles. But here's the thing. Okay, here's my take. So people, especially the wealthy, love purchasing exotic pets. And I actually confirmed crocodiles are a popular exotic pet in Scotland, and there's even still pet crocodile and alligator breeders in Scotland to this day. So, like, they're there. There are some crocodiles there. But there's also, we do have documentation of actual cryptid sightings. And actually, right here, I'll note real quick, some people consider Nessie to be a cryptid. Cryptids are defined as creatures whose reported existence is unproven, but if you're taking the route of Nessie is this existing animal, like the what we thought was extinct plesiosaurus, that would make Nessie not technically a cryptid, but I just use the word cryptid because that's what I've always used for Nessie and what most people do. Tomato, tomato. Anyways, people love to purchase exotic pets. Crocodiles and alligators are common exotic pets even in Scotland to this day. And we have a history, even here in the US, of people releasing exotic pets and those exotic pets being believed when people spot them out in the wild. And you're not expecting to see this like weird exotic animal out in the wild. They're mistaken as cryptids. For example, the Jersey Devil. Someone had, it was some kind of pet, like orangutan or an ape or something, and they released it, and I can't remember what city this was, but there's pictures, if you look up Jersey Devil, some of the pictures, it's very clearly this like ape looking creature in a tree, and that's what it was. Someone didn't want to take care of this exotic pet, and they dumped it when locals saw it, and they're like, they're not used to seeing things like that running around in the wild. And so they're like, oh my God, is this the Jersey Devil, the, you know, cryptid that we have all this lore about? And so it's not impossible that potentially someone abandoned a crocodile or alligator out there and that it managed to live for a little while. Probably not for very long, though, I would think, because it's a very different climate than they're used to. It's quite cold. I don't know what the food is like for crocodiles and alligators out there. So some people think that at the very least, the initial sighting of the dinosaur-looking creature in the road that goes into the water could have been something like a crocodile. Who knows? It feels a little bit, I don't want people to think that like I'm being a Debbie Downer. Like, I don't know, trying to do all this debunking. There's the fake footprints. There's the surgeon's photo that people say is a hoax. There's initial sightings that could have been a pet crocodile on the loose or that was abandoned. But I still believe in Nessie because Nessie brings whimsy into our lives. And like, literally, why not? It doesn't hurt for me to be like, yeah, I think there's some big creature in there still. Okay. Can you guess, it is in the millions, I'll tell you that, how much money Nessie tourism brings into Scotland's economy annually? It's in the millions.
I was gonna say, I would have even guessed like the billions. I would have honestly put that,
okay,
that high.
It's kind of close. 80 million annually is what Scotland's economy.
Yeah, I do not doubt that at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, you know. Good for them. I would monetize the heck out of it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, coming from someone of our social status, that's a pretty sizable chunk of change. And, you know, Nessie still makes news to this day. The year 2025, we had headlines earlier this year about a possible photograph of Nessie taken by the photographer, She Kelly, who allegedly took these photos back in 2018. She says she kept them to herself because of fears of public perceptions, which is totally fair. People can be horrible online and in comment sections, so I don't blame her. But to describe these photos to listeners who haven't seen them yet, they do show something larger in the water, which does appear to be undulating, turning, rolling, whatever this is, it's changing shape. Kelly does note that ultimately, and I quote, "I don't know what it is. What I saw looked like a serpent. It was definitely a creature and it was moving." Skeptics, however, believe that it could be like a twisty log that's kind of like turning and floating about in the water. And that's possible, sure. It could be a cluster of eels. It could be a cluster of fish like mating and doing their weird fishy stuff. But who knows? And I thought that was really cool. I'm like, it is 2025 and we're still getting like Nessie news. And I love that. And I hope it never stops. And speaking of to date, there have been around 1,148 Nessie sightings, according to the official Nessie Monster Sightings Register, with organizations like the Loch Ness Center and the Loch Ness Exploration Volunteer Group. There's plenty of other Nessie believers and enthusiasts and groups that have come about that still are on the hunt for proof of this creature. Mass amounts of divers have even met up to swim the waters and look. To this day, you'll have photographers who station themselves out there trying to get a glimpse of something strange in the water. And I just think that's awesome. And Tayshia, I think that someone out there needs to fund a trip for us to go out there and look for Nessie.
Yes, an odd anthropology expedition to solve Nessie.
Listen, we solved imposter syndrome. We're gonna solve this. We're literally just like absolute geniuses. Like,
yeah,
if I do say so myself. I do, and this is also fun. I know this episode was full of a lot of like debunking, speculation. Like, that's what we gotta do, you know? But I still believe in Nessie, but there is one more kind of serious note that I do unfortunately have to end on, and I was like, ooh, this is depressing. Let me save this for the very end, because we are an anthropology podcast. Part of anthropology is, of course, looking at humans' behaviors, beliefs, why we are the way that we are, and why we believe in the things we believe in. And there's a little bit of a darker side to the Nessie story, in the sense that the very first modern-day sightings, again, took place in 1933. What was happening in Europe just a few years later? What was already brewing? World War II. During times of turmoil and war, this is when people tend to look more towards entertainment. So movie ticket sales go up and people are going to see live shows, concerts. People are consuming other arts and creating other art. People also look towards religion and the supernatural as a sort of escape. It gives a sense of hope. And earlier I mentioned like the whimsy that we feel when we think about Nessie. And there, for example, so there's a famous case of they were known faked fairy photographs called the Cottingley Fairies. Snaps for Cottingley Fairies. We love them. Who made headlines some years prior, 1917. The same time that World War I was taking place. And a lot of people believe that World War I is taking place. Headlines, of course, everything is not great. And all of a sudden, people see these pictures of these supposed real fairies. And it gives this glimpse of whimsy, this hope, this like there's something else out there. There's something beautiful and magical out there. And those photos really took off. They were being printed everywhere. And so we have to... You know, we have a track record of these mystical sort of things really capturing hearts and minds during times of turmoil as the horrors persist around us. And this very well could be why stories and alleged photos of Nessie really dominated headlines the way that they did. Other people speculate, however, there's the flip side of a coin. Some people think that Nessie's stories kind of represented the opposite. Instead of this like, oh my gosh, like how cool would it be if this crazy mystical or prehistoric being was still alive? Some people see this as like, a scary murderous water creature, and that this could have represented the lingering fears and threat that was the Nazis. So there's a lot to kind of ponder about with some of this as, you know, we get into World War II and the bombings and bloodshed and genocide. Were those anxieties also reflected by some to this lingering threat that is this possible more malevolent prehistoric beast with ancient tales of it murdering the Picts? Who knows again? I feel like I say that a lot in every single episode. I'm like, who knows? Who knows? Comes with a little shrug.
Yeah.
The psychology that comes into play with Nessie is really interesting to look into. It does make me wonder if that first initial sighting had happened at a time where there wasn't so much social unrest and anxieties. Would the newspapers have thought that people cared? Would it have even been printed? And maybe Nessie would have never really become such a big thing, as we've seen with similar things like the Cottingley Fairies. If that didn't happen during, you know, when World War I was taking place, people might have just looked at it and been like, oh no, this is probably fake, and not really cared more into it. So I don't know, a little bit of food for thought. Obviously, this wasn't the case with Nessie, because she's still super popular today, and Nessie continues to capture hearts. When looking for giveaway items, I literally just hit up like a few stores near me. I found the plush and the button at this touristy shop called Pirate's Plunder, which is also just perfect. I purchased the plesiosaurus tooth from a shop called Gem Heaven near Pike, or it's inside Pike Place Market, which is near where I live in Seattle. And I thought that was really cool that I'm like, okay, like I gotta go find some Nessie stuff. And within like less than a mile, like less than a half mile radius, I'm like, okay, boom, 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 here's some Nessie stuff, because that's how popular she still is. Yeah. We even get memes that still circulate about Nessie, my favorite, probably our favorite, being the Glock Ness monster. Mm-hmm. Nessie holding a Glock. Love me the Glock Ness monster. To this day, I have an ongoing joke with my husband where anytime we're out looking at the water, if there's a stick, a log, if there's a duck, literally anything in the distance, I'm just like, do you think that's Nessie? Like, oh my God, is that Nessie? Every single time. And of course, like in pop culture, she continues to be so popular. I thought about listing some like books and movies about her and cryptozoology that she's featured in, but I mean, the list is infinite.
Yes.
We even have Nessie mockumentaries. And I will end by shouting out one of my favorite podcasts, After Dark, Myths, Misdeeds, and the Paranormal. They have an episode on the Loch Ness Monster that is also quite good. And the reason I shout them out is because one of the hosts is from Ireland and the other is from somewhere else in the UK. But it's interesting to listen to people's takes who are a little bit closer in terms of geography to Nessie. And I also just love to support my favorite podcasts. You know, I know a lot of podcasts don't want to like be like, oh, also go listen to this podcast, but After Dark is a great podcast. And if you want even more Nessie, I listened to that episode a while back, but it definitely like lingered in my mind and I was like, I want to talk about Nessie. So go check them out. And I think that's all that I have. Tayshia, do you have any final thoughts about Nessie or anything I've covered?
One thing I was wanting, I didn't know if you were going to bring it up during the episode, so I didn't want to say anything just in case it was coming later, but I am very curious to hear your thoughts on Nessie being an egregore now.
Ooh, you know,
I suppose while you're thinking about that, an egregore, for those that don't know, is like a thought form. Like so many people believing in something or thinking about something, and especially something like Nessie, something like Santa Claus, people believe in it and that makes it real. That makes it true. That makes it a thing.
It kind of like materialize, like the collective energies materialize it almost. I think it's possible. I mean, as some, I believe in ghosts. I think a lot of things are possible. Actually, egregores have been a topic in the paranormal as of recently because of all this stuff going on with Annabelle, the haunted doll. Mm-hmm. Some people, like a lot of people, myself included, were like, listen, do I believe Ed and Lorraine Warren? This is such a tangent. No, I don't. No. Do I think Annabelle was demonic or possessed? No, even the Warrens are like, the doll itself wasn't possessed. It was just being manipulated by this external entity. But some people are like, what if Annabelle has like become this egregore with this like spirit, this evil spirit that everyone's picturing? So when it comes to Nessie, I'm like, you know what? Sure. Yeah, Nessie could be an egregore. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you think about when even people talk about going to Loch Ness, the atmosphere of it. And I mean, granted, usually Scotland's rainy and kind of cloudy and gloomy. Oh,
beautiful.
Yes, I'm not saying those as bad qualities. But like that atmosphere, like, and, you know, people kind of questioning, oh, what was that? Like, it, that just gives that air, that feel, that adds to that belief and kind of brings it that much closer to reality, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. Even when I went to the Highlands, we spent some time on in Inverary, and Inverary is, it's also just, you know, it's very misty, it's very dreary, it has so many legends and ghost stories and these phantom galleons of ships that act as a death omen to people that see it. And that whole trip, the entire energy And the vibe all throughout that day in the Highlands, it did feel very heightened, which also could, it could have been me just being an American tourist that's like, oh my God, this is also magical and amazing. But it really did, like, also, like, as a witch, I'm just like, actually, I don't know if we've said that on the podcast. I am most certainly a witch. Tayshia, I don't know. Do you describe yourself as a witch or just witchy, spiritual?
No, I mean, I definitely, I would say that I call myself a witch. And, you know, it's been something that I've been exploring and learning a lot about. Yeah.
Yeah, we're two witchy folks. And I'm, you know, yeah, at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, the Highlands are absolutely a magical place, like so entrenched yes. in history and in folklore. And yeah, just the energy there. And maybe it is just the ambiance of it all, like, playing into my mind. But, like, anyway, I'm like, hey, like, magic is magic. Like, I absolutely feel it. And I'm so glad you brought mm-hmm. that up. I didn't have that anywhere in my notes about Nessie maybe being an egregore. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Egregorgeous.
Oh, she is.
Oh, our bestie Nessie. She is egregorgeous. So I think that was a good, that was good. Wait, wow, this is almost 50 minutes long. Okay. Ooh. So, man, I have a lavender matcha right here that I didn't sip from once that entire time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say, and I apologize. I had myself on mute most of the time because my kids were just screaming in the background. So I figured I tried to save Ivy some editing.
That's not Tayshia's kids screaming in the background. That's the victims of Nessie.
Or I've got Nessie trapped in the tub.
And that's Nessie. No. So thank you to everyone who tuned in for this episode and stuck around until the very end. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Substack, actually. We've got some new stuff going on Substack. We have a paid sub option if you would like to help support the podcast. Being a paid sub gives you access to our post archive and other exclusive posts. Don't forget to leave a rating and review. We're also on YouTube. Right now, it's just our podcast audios are also uploaded on there. Some of you listening are probably listening on YouTube and you're like, yeah, I know this. But hey, maybe me and Tayshia will go to Loch Ness and we can do some little Nessie vlogs. So
We have maybe been scheming some, like, our actual first meetup that we could be possibly doing.
Somewhere very spooky and fun. Yes. But I don't want to jinx anything yet.
No.
So believe it or not, so Tayshia and I are not raking in the millions of dollars like Scotland is. So over in Nessie, unless maybe this episode pops off and we rake in $80 million, I wouldn't complain. Our Substack is $5 a month, which is the lowest amount Substack lets you charge. So that's what I went with. So give us $5. I don't know. So we can go do spooky stuff. Don't forget to leave a rating interview. Hit that follow button wherever you are listening. And join us next month where Tayshia will share another fabulous topic.
Thank you so much. We're very grateful for you listening and
stay egregorgeous.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah, that was so good. I didn't know how to follow it up.
Trademark that. Actually, so I'm probably not the first person to.
Wait,
no, yeah, actually, dibs.
Is it merch?
Yeah, dibs. Yeah, we're gonna have some merch. And on that note, bye.
Goodbye.